Let's begin our discussion, continuing our Eben Ezer issues. This one's a little bit different than the other topics that we've discussed, which was directly connected between males and females, Nagia, Yichud, and Kalisha. But today we'll talk about the halacha of a woman having to cover her hair after she gets married. Kisi Rosh Lenashim. Kisi Rosh Lenashim. So the source of this is already a pasuk in the Torah, right? Which makes it different than everything we've spoken about up until now. Up until now, Pashtus was, you know, Kalisha was based on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, as we saw, and Yichud, there was some Daraisa, some Durabanan. Nagia, we saw, was a machlokes, whether it was Daraisa or Durabanan, but here it's a clear-cut pasuk in the Torah, in Pashtus Naso, regarding the Isha Sota, that we uncover the Sota's hair. Mashba, that it was covered. Mashba, that the derech of Nashim, of Jewish women, was to have their hair covered. Upara is Rosh Isha, the Pasuk says, and the Medrash Darshan, Upara, Lama, Shederech, Benos Yisrael, Lios Roshen, Mechusos. Unusual Lashon. It's the way of Benos Yisrael to have their heads covered. V'lakachu Porea Rosha, and that's why the Kohen uncovers her hair, V'omarla and says to her, At parashta miderech Benos Yisrael, right, you separated. You didn't act like a Bas Yisrael. Shadark and Lios Mechusos Roshehen, and whose derech is to have their hair covered. Okay, this is what you wanted. This is what you got. And that's why we uncover the hair. And it was very embarrassing at the time for that to occur. And this is the halacha that's quoted in the Mishnah Maseches Ksubis. The Mishnah Maseches Ksubis tells us on Daf Ayin Beis, famous Mishnah in the world of these halachas, about Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. Says the Mishnah, the Elu Yotza Shalob Ksuba. Source number 3, the following women could be divorced without getting their Ksuba. Generally, if a man wants to divorce his wife, he has to pay Ksuba. Doesn't matter if he doesn't want to, he has to. Right? That's part of the Chiyuvim of the Ksuba that he accepts at the time of the marriage. But once in a while, if there are certain transgressions that we could define as breaking up the marriage, so then he could divorce his wife without paying the ksuba. Specific, not just Tom, if she does any Avera and he wants to divorce his wife, but if the Avera specifically is seen as a breaking up of the marriage, undermining the marriage, so then the Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara explains, that he could divorce his wife without getting the ksuba. So says the Mishnah, Eli Yotza Shelo B'Ksuba, which is the first one, what's the category? Hoveres Adas Moshe V'Yehudis. One who violates the rules of Moshe and the rules of Yehudis. What does that mean? What does that mean? So the Meiri explains there, among other Rishonim, Das Moshe are Didim Daraisa, Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, that's Das Moshe. Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh. Das Yehudis is one step removed from that. The Das of Yehudis of Yehudim. Meiri, Das Yehudis hu anomar al minhagim anuhugim be'uma mitzat tznius, lios benos Yisrael yeseros b'midat tznius al kol shar nashim. Jewish women act differently and dress differently and behave differently than all other women in the world, and that's what Das Yehudis is. So either of those, whether it's a din d'oraisa or a das yehudis, that is grounds for divorce without a ksuba. So what are examples? What are examples of das Moshe and das yehudis? So if you look back in the Mishnah gives examples of das Moshe. Machilasa shena musar. He feeds her husband. She feeds her husband non-kosher food. Non-kosher food. That's breaking up the marriage. You can't have a marriage like that. She doesn't tell him that she didn't go to the mikvah. Also, she makes nedarim. The Gemara talks about what that has to do with marriage. She doesn't fulfill them. That affects the children, the Gemara says. That's Das Moshe. What's Das Yehudis? This is the one important for us. Yotza Verosha Parua. She goes out to the street without her head covered. Yotza Verosha Parua. Says the Gemara. That's an example of second category. Category 2, not category 1. Das Yehudis? Yosef Rosha Parua. Rosha Parua, Daraisi. What's the Mishnah talking about? That's what we just learned the halacha and the medrash. To the Daraisa, that a married woman has to cover her hair in some way, as we'll see. So what does the Mishnah mean that it's in category 2? It's the minog of the women to do this. It's not the minog. This is the halacha. This is Das Moshe. Rosh HaPerot Daraisa, he dichsiv, upara es Rosh HaIsha. Vatana Dever of Ishmael, Azhara Lebanos Yisrael, Shalo Yetsu Biperu Arosh. Right, as Azhara, this is not only now what the Medrash said, Derech Benos Yisrael. The Gemara's Lashon is Azhara Lebanos Yisrael. It's a halacha. It's a halacha. The Benos Yisrael are not allowed. Shalo Yetsu. They're not allowed to go up Biperu Arosh. But it's a Din Daraisa. It's Das Moshe. That's not Das Yehuda, second category. So the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, Doraisa Kalsa Shaper Dami. Mi Doraisa, an inferior, let's call it, type of head covering. Doesn't cover everything. Some type of Kalsa, some type of basket on her head. That's the Din Doraisa. Das Yehudis requires more. Afilu Kalsa Nami Aser. Right? And that requires more. So therefore, there are different levels. Hard to know exactly what the levels are by reading the Gemara. But it's clear that covering the hair in some way is a bona fide halacha. Is this a din d'araisa mamish? A din d'rabbanan, the Shilta Giborim, which we'll get back to a little bit later, Be'ez Hashem, mentions that it's an issa d'araisa. He assumes it's a halacha d'araisa. Not a separa losa, say, but it's a halacha d'araisa, as we saw, based on the pasuk by Isha Sota. Whether it's d'araisa, whether it's d'rabbanan, it doesn't make a difference for us. As we've said in the past couple of weeks, it's a halacha, and that is what we hold. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says again in Simen Chaf Aleph, which we've seen every week over the past couple of weeks, that Simen and Simen Chaf Aleph, Sif Aleph in Evan Ezer, in Source number 7, about the behavior, appropriate behavior of men and women. Right, it talks about how they act and what they look at. And if you look on the toward the end of the halacha, if you turn over on the top of the back page, V'asa Lishmoa Kol Erva O Liro Sara. Right, part the reason that it has to be covered is because it has the status of erva. Has a status of erva, and that's why it cannot be seen by any man outside of the house. This is bona fide halacha. The Mishnah Berurah mentions this also in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. We don't have Mishnah Berurah on Evan Ezer, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in Siman Ayin Hey, Yesh Bazei Eser Torah, according to the Shulta Giborim. Tichsiv v'paretz v'osa isha mechlal shi mechusev. V'gam kol b'dos Yisrael, hamachzikos b'das Moshe, nisharos mizeh miyemos avoseinu miyolam v'adata. Bechlal erva hi v'asalikos kenegdan. Has a status of an erva. This is the halacha. There's no flexibility on this. So just a note. Just a note, which is probably a note from everything we've said over the past month, but it's an important note to mention, especially here today. Our job here is not to go out of here and judge anyone else. That's not the purpose of our learning halacha. To judge others and say, oh, I think what they're doing, dot, dot, dot. For one of two reasons. Number one, it could be that not everybody received the same education as we're zochatu to be able to learn the Ma'ar Mekomos and go to Shiurim and have a certain upbringing. And it could be other people didn't, so they might not know or might not have been educated in the same way. And number two, stam. It's not our job to judge anybody. You know, even if there are certain people out there that might not follow this halacha, it's not our job to try to figure it out and judge them. We're just trying to figure out what the halacha is for me, for what I want my wife to do, how I understand the halacha, right? And that's all that we're interested in now. They heard, Rabbi so-and-so's wife, you know, didn't cover her hair or this and that. That's not my business. That's not my business, trying to figure it out, right? If there's a post-take that would say that, I would put it in here, right? If there's a post-take that say you don't have to do it as well as that, a post-take, an authoritative post-take that we would, you know, you could write anything you want. But if there was an authoritative post-take that would say that we would do it. But, so again, that's an important ara. Even 100 years ago, you know, things might have been different in terms of what was accepted and what was acceptable. But again, keep that in mind, that we're not out there to judge anyone else, even if there are people that are very close to us. We're just there to try to figure out what the halacha is for ourselves and what the poskim say. But either way, this is the background, that there is a halacha. There's a halacha, bona fide halacha of a woman covering her hair. The question is, does anything change bizman hazeh? Now that there are many, even Jewish women, that don't cover their hair? Does anything change about that? We know that we could even instinctively know that the hair as erva is a different type of erva than the other ervas on a woman's body. And haraya, that it only has to be covered when she gets married. Right, other parts of a woman's body are erva, right when she starts looking like a woman. Right, even before bat mitzvah, for sure at bat mitzvah. So there are parts of the body that are erva. We did last week, we did the Gemara and Brachas. Shok b'isha erva, tefach b'isha erva. Erva is Erva. And all of a sudden here, it's not Erva one day, and the next day, boom, it's Erva. So it's obviously a different type of Erva and a different understanding. And there are hashkafic messages about this too, which we're not going to focus on in this year. Hashkafic messages. And it's not, and be sure, it's not an easy halacha. It's not an easy halacha for a woman, again, once you get into practice, but it's not an easy halacha for them, for the women to always have to, you know, have their head covered, something that they're not used to. So one has to be very sensitive in this area, but it is the halacha. So does anything change, Bizman Hazeh? Again, the fact that many women out there don't dress properly, that doesn't change anything, right? Erva is erva when it comes to those types of ervas. But what about hair? So there is a misquoted Aruch HaShulchan. There was a misquote Aruch HaShulchan, you might have heard, or maybe you might hear, when getting into the discussion, the Aruch HaShulchan, right, one of the greats, Yechiel Michal Epstein, Hardik, you don't have to cover, the woman don't have to cover the hair, Bizman Hazeh. That's not true. He never wrote, never said such a thing. He is known as one of the Matzdike Minhage Yisrael. The Aruch HaShulchan always tries to bend over backwards to defend the practices of Am Yisrael. So that's why it's important to know, whenever he screams about something, then it's serious. It's serious. So here, in the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 9, let's see what he says. In Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Ata, Bov v'netzaveach al pirtzos dareinu. Let's scream about the pirtza in our generation. Bavonoseinu harabim, shezeh shanim rabos, shenifritzu b'nos Yisrael bavon zeh. There are years, he's writing this around the year 1900s. It's been so many years that so many of the wonderful Jewish fine women are not following this halacha. V'holchos begili rosh, v'chol mashet tzaku al zeh, lo le'ez of lo lehoel. And even though we've screamed, nothing's helped. V'yata pastam es pachas shanesuos holchos besaroson, come up sulos, you can't see who's married. Right, the married women, the unmarried women. Oy lanu shalsa b'yameinu. That doesn't sound like, you don't have to bizman hazeh. Oy lanu shalsa b'yameinu, woe to us. But what does he say? What does he say? That the uncovered hair, being that many don't cover it and we're used to seeing it, it does not have the status of erva for Kriya Shema. That's something that might have changed. Again, other areas of erva on a woman's body, that doesn't change. Doesn't matter how used to a chas v'shalom a person might be with it. But this hair, we know already, is a different type of erva. And therefore, that's what he says. Like the places that are Megula on the Guf, which Rishonim quote, one could say Brachos and Kriyashma in front of in that case. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan. What changes Bizman Hazeh? Not the Chiv. The Chiv is Chayv HaKayim today, as it was 1,000, 2,000 years ago, but that's the Aruch HaShulchan Legabe Kriyashma. One other halacha that might change, and this is a machlokas haposkim, this is Ramosha, discusses this. What happens if a woman doesn't cover her hair? Is that grounds for divorce? Like the days of the Mishnah. Yotzo Shalom Biksuba. So says Ramosha, and he wrote this, look, in 1959. Tavshin Yutes. B'yotzo Rosha Peru B'zman Hazeh. B'medin Aseinu. Lin Yechiv Gerishim Biksuba. A woman who doesn't want to cover her hair. I'm guessing, I don't know the mitzias of this case, what it was, but it's something that you should talk about before you get married. Right? L'chora. Right? There's a difference. There's a difference between, let's say, you know, they got married and they weren't as Shomer Torah mitzvos, whatever, and like 10 years into the marriage, you know, they decide to, you know, she decides to cover her hair, and then later she undecides, whatever. But if, you know, if they decided, the assumption was, that's different than the assumption was, she's covering her hair. And then all of a sudden she decided not to one day. Right? It's something that should be spoken about before the marriage, obviously. You know, it's something that, you know, if something changes during the marriage, that's something different. That's a separate topic. But she doesn't want to. Ramosha writes, 1959, even many Shomri Torah mitzvos, many women don't cover their hair. So is that grounds for divorce? Says Rav Moshe, no. because so many people do it, that doesn't mean that it's right. Doesn't mean that it's right, but there's no chiyuv to divorce your wife if she doesn't want to cover her hair, says Rav Moshe Bizman Hazeh. Shein Megarshin Balkarcha, Eino Geazeh Lamaisa. De Bishvil Zeh Lo Nati Legarshin Balkarcha, Velo Lisa Isha Acheres. Uma Meila, Eino Geazeh Gamlin Yinksuba, De Yisarcha Ba Alitin Lakol Kach Mosa, Chitrasa Lakabal Aget. And then he goes into Ubaguffa Davar, since Bizman Hazeh, Ein Lach Shiva Prutza Bazeh, she's not considered someone undermining the marriage in this case. She shouldn't lose the ksuba. Again, this is Rav Moshe. Rav Avadya does not agree. If you look in the next source in the Yabia Omer, no, if somebody's doing something wrong, somebody's doing something wrong. That doesn't change either. Again, so this is a discussion in the poskim. And it's a very serious issue. If, let's say, a woman covered her hair for all the years and all of a sudden one day she doesn't want to cover her hair anymore, that's a very serious issue. But again, every case is a different. But those are the two halachos that might change bizman hazeh. The chiyuv does not change. A, saying kriya shma in front of Cyrus Megulos, and number two, in terms of the grounds for a divorce. Okay, one of the major discussions in this topic is our wigs, peyanachris. We're not going to talk about the avodah zara element of peyanachris. Right, that is the whether they get the wigs from, you know, places in the Far East that they worship. That was already a major discussion. I don't know how many years ago now as it was. I don't know, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, Rav Yashiv and others. But we're just going to talk about wigs in general. Let's say mutter wig, you know, it's mutter bana. The issue of wigs. And the question is, you know, one might think, what isn't this like a circumvention? Like, how could the Lubavitcher Rebbe say, as we'll see soon, that it's the best to wear a shetel, to wear a wig? Not just it's allowed, it's the best. And you have the other extreme of many Sephardic poskim that it's usur. And then you have many that do it. So what's the issue? And obviously the potential problem is, well, I'll tell you a personal story about my wife was in medical school. So she went in the first 2 years of medical school are all in classes. You know, you don't go out to deal with patients. So she was married. We got married before she started medical school. So she always wore a hat, which was easier. Third year medical school, you start being in the hospital with patients. So she made a conscious decision. She put on she wore a shetel to school, and her non-Jewish classmates saw her, and all of a sudden one of this tamim goy comes over and says, "You know what happened?" She's like, "What?" She's like, "You're not married anymore?" She's like, "No, I'm married." So, but you told us they always have to cover your hair. So she said, "I am." And he looks at her and just like he mouths it, like, "What?" And she said, "Yeah." She didn't want to lie, and she didn't want to, you know. So he says, this guy says, "Well, isn't that kind of like circumventing the law?" He says, "You can speak to my husband's a rabbi, go through all the marmakomas with you. Teaching Torah to non-Jews will be the next week's year." But either way, what's the issue? So the Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos, the Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Samach Dalet, says that a woman can wear a wig and it's not called Hotzah on Shabbos. That's where the Mishnah discusses it. There's no issue of Hotzah. Yotza Isha Bechute Seir, Be Mishala, Be Mishal Chaverta, Be Mishal Behema, Bekabel Bepeanachris, Lachatzer. On that Mishnah is the Shilte Giborim. Shilte Giborim, 1500s. Right, he's early. This Mishnah is the basis for Jewish women wearing wigs, wearing a shetel. He quotes the Mishnah, and the Mishnah even says, even her own hair. It's defined as erva, as we will see his words in a minute. It's defined as erva only when it's connected to the head. If it's not connected to the head, it's not called erva, even if it looks like it. Yera mizel havi raya v'smach l'nasha mayotzos b'kisui sara shalohen k'shein nesuos alva b'makam kli asara noso saras chavarsein. They wear their friend's hair. Right, pisher amama farshim peyanachra is exactly what it does, and they wear it. Why? Kadesha tiskashet b'seyar, they wear it to look nice. They wear it to look nice. Says the Shulchan Giborim, Umashma lehedyash and mutaras benos Yisrael as kashibrahem. Deseir beisha erva de kamar lohavi ala beseir adovak lebsar mamish. Only what's the definition? Remember, we said this is a different type of erva. This isn't part of a woman's body that's usually supposed to be covered always. It only became erva when she got married. So there are limits on this. So the definition of the erva is hair that's attached to the head. Venera gambasara imaseir. Avalseir hamachasa sara. Hair that covers her hair. Ein kam mishum seir beirisha erva. Vagamlo mishum puras rosh. And venera, and he says, and it doesn't make a difference, fundamentally, deloshana sara zidav, loshana sara shachaverta. Even if it's her own hair that she makes a wig out of. Generally, that's not done. Kol o davidi lechisi aseir. Fein tlushos, as long as they're detached. Avabita kishadu. Kadeshi teira'e ba'ala seir, ein baka klum v'shaper dummy. What's that last line? That's a crucial line. The halacha of a woman covering her hair has nothing to do with that she shouldn't look nice. Covering her hair as a status of erva, maybe it helps remind her, remind him that she's married. But it's not about not looking nice. And therefore he says, if a woman's wearing a sheitel in order to look like a ba'ala seir, and it makes her look nice, that's fine. Again, some posts can talk about if it's certain types of sheitels that might not be just look fine, but might look seductive in a certain way. Okay, that's inappropriate. But if it's regular sheitel that a woman gets and she wants to look nice with it, and like we said, it's a challenging halacha. And women naturally are focused more and feel, have more self awareness of how they look than men. Men should maybe get a little more focused on that sometimes. But it's the Shulchan Giborim already says 500 years ago. They want to look nice? That's fine, 100% fine. They're not, it's no erva, and it covers the hair, and there is no problem with it. So this is the Shulchan Giborim. Many, many poskim quote this, the halacha. The Raman Ilchos Kriyashma quotes this. The Raman Ilchos Kriyashma says, quotes the Seir Nachris, that's not called Erva L'Kriyashma. The Mishneh Berurah quotes various Minhagim in Source 15. He quotes that the Minhag is to be mekel and wear wigs. Rav Moshe even has an interesting shuva where it's in Eben Ezer, Beis Yud Beis, in Source 16. It talks about someone who wrote to Rav Moshe, my wife wants to wear a sheitel, what am I supposed to do? Rav Moshe says, love her. Right, that's not that, but basically it's fine. It's her area of halacha. It's her area of halacha. I say to whatever about various things. It's her area. Whatever she wants to wear, it's her halacha, and whatever she feels most comfortable with. At least Ashkenazic poskim in the majority say that there is no problem. Rav Moshe says, Hanochal ani es daiti. Af on line 3. Sheika mandachoshish lesser bianachris. Vishamaris ayin. There's a minority of opinions that say, nobody knows. Mikol makom rov raboseinu. Vegam elu shasomchini kari ara layem. The ones that we rely on. The Rama, the Darkei Moshe, the same in the Darkei Moshe, the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim, the Gra. They're all mako. Why? We shouldn't make up our own maris ayin alachas. Who says that, it's Marisana, and therefore what? And therefore it looks like her hair is uncovered? It's not. If somebody's making a mistake, let's say I'm driving on Tuesday afternoon. Somebody thinks it's Shabbos. They're like, oh my God, I shouldn't be able to drive on Tuesday because they think it's Shabbos? It's their mistake. It's the wrong reality. So here too, says Rav Moshe, we don't make new Xeris Marasayan. Shlomatzina b'gemara she'asru, in l'melef mi'mekom asachirim, she'asru m'shem Marasayan. De'in l'melef chadim idach. And here too, and by the way, says Rav Moshe, most of the time you can tell it's a sheitel, and even if the men can't tell, the women can tell. And that's the truth. That the women can tell, again, 98% of the time that it's a sheitel, and therefore, says Rav Moshe, there's no issue. Barofamim nikar shasar sim peyanachris, vafim eno nikar lanashim, shim mistaklim kogach banashim, even if the man shouldn't be such bekiyan. In this, mikamakam lenashim vaday nikar baruba deruba vulai gam kula nikaros. Maybe all of them. Maybe it's not even a robe; it's kol, and therefore, it is not a problem. And therefore, Rav Moshe wrote to this man that there's no problem. There's no problem with wearing the sheitel.
Isn't it about the men? It's not about the women.
C- I'm saying, but the fact that it's not about their not about men knowing that she's married. It's just about an objective recognition in the world that this is not the attached hair. It doesn't matter if it's men or women. It's not a question of hear her here. It's a question of seeing a Dvar Erva. It could be connected to hear her. But either way, this is what the post can say. And again, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I didn't give it to you, but in a letter that I have, I gave you some of it. Yeah, in Source 17, he says that the it's the best. Why is it the best? Because it covers everything. It covers everything, right? Hats, we'll get to if it's hairs that are allowed to be left out, but a sheitel covers all the hair. Not a fall. Fall is a half a sheitel. But a fall is like a hair, it comes, it starts, but it leaves some out in the front. You don't have to know about these things yet. But anyway, but a sheitel is the best, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and that's why generally most Chabad Rebbetzins, let's say, well, there are exceptions. Most of them, I think, wear sheitels. Are there Ostrim? Yes. The Chassam Sofer is not supportive. The Rav Avadya, generally, the Sephardic Poskim are not supportive of it. Again, many are, I think I quoted before, that the Yaskal Avdi, Rav Adaya, supports it. So again, one should ask their local Sephardic Posek if one is following that. But again, there are many, I think, that are the Ashkenazic world, but even in the Sephardic world, I think Yesh Makom L'Hakel in certain regards. Good. What about, where does a woman have to cover her hair? So outside, yes. What about in her house, but there are other people there? So if you look in the Gemara, if you just read the Gemara, back to the Gemara in Ksubis that we didn't finish. If you look back in the Gemara, in source number 5, Rav Yochanan says, Kalsa ein ba mishum porei rosh. If a woman has this kalsa, this like basket with holes on her head, it's not called porei rosh. So Rav Zera says, Heicha, where is this halacha talking? Ilema b'shuk. If it's in the shuk, it's outside Das Yodasi, then of course it's a problem. It's a problem to wear a kalsa. We just said that. So ela b'chatzer. So it must be, in the chatzer. In the chatzer, then the kalsa is good. So the Gemara says, Imkein lo inakta bas la'avram avinu. She has to wear a kalsa in the chatzer with her husband. Right? Amar Abaya. Okay, it means going from chatzer to chatzer, derech mavui. So it's a semi-public place. But what does it sound like from the Gemara? Then in her own chatzer, she doesn't have to wear. Does that mean in her own chatzer, it doesn't matter who's there? Or does chatzer by definition mean private, she's only with her husband? So lest one paskin from the Gemara, the Ritva says, on the Gemara, obviously, chatzer means nobody else is there. Source 19 now. Kivan she'ein sham roin. And this is the assumption of the poskim. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, just derech agav, obviously, kishaleka shamin eshachrini. So I've heard one or two poskim that say that, in the house she doesn't have to, even if there are other men there. I don't know what it's based on. The poskim, it's not in the poskim that quote this halacha and the Shulchan Aruch and they quote the Heter, the Ritva, nobody understands the Gemara that way. But just to note, that psak is out there. I'm not exactly sure what it's based on. There is a story that one should know about Kimchis, the famous Kimchis. Kimchis and Yuma. Yuma Mem Zayin. Kimchis was zochet to have many children who are all Kohanim Gedolim. Why was she zochet to that? The Gemara says, because the walls of her house never saw her hair. Okay, that's not a chumrah that we should take on. Bizman hazeh. If she wants to take it on, again, it's her choice, but generally it's not a chumrah. The Bach talks about it, but again, that is the one should just know the story about Kimchis, but not a chumrah. It could be a chumrah that us de kula. For some women, sometimes, if they find it so hard, they'll take the chumrah. Nobody does this chumrah nowadays. But even if they would take a chumrah, it's also they're just going to get so fed up and upset about this halacha, they'll just throw the whole thing away. So it's a chumrah dasa de kula, not an appropriate chumrah that one should even think about. Alone with your husband, no need at all. Yeah?
I might be jumping the gun here, but does the Gemara in Ksubis, with the Ritva, also include family?
So that's a good question. What about family? There is flexibility in terms of her, a little bit. Her father, meaning her father and her brothers.
Children.
Right. I think children are okay. Brothers, father and brothers are a little more extended, but other than that, that's it.
Married sister.
What?
Married sister.
So that's the same kind of thing. I'm saying her brothers, her father, You know, that's a little more gray area. Again, generally, women who have their hair covered, you know, generally are comfortable with it covered, even in front of their brothers. But again, there is flexibility. There is flexibility there. Okay. What about having a little bit of hair hanging out? A little bit out. So some say none. Right? The Zohar talks about this. Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Magen Avraham, in Source 24, quotes from the Zohar, Hechmir Ma'o, not even one hair. And that's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe is like this. Not at all. The Chein Roy Lino, the Magen Avraham. But the Rashba already has on that Gemara in Brachas, about Seah Be'er She'erva, that this does not include the hair that's generally a little bit out. Out of her tzimta, which was like a head covering. 25. Sara michutz latzimta she'ena miskasa. The little hair that hangs out. What does that mean? What is the little bit of hair that hangs out? How are we supposed to define that? And the Ramah quotes that in that Ramah that we saw before, that sear michutz latzimta is okay. So how much is that? How much is that? The Maram al Shachar, again, another early Achron discusses this, that it's okay to have a little bit out. So how much is it? So Rav Moshe gives a formula. Rav Moshe says one square tefach. Rav Moshe, source 27. Yesh lahag, what's one square tefach? So Rav Moshe assumes a tefach is four fingers. Four fingers. This amount, that's a tefach. And Rav Moshe assumes that the hairline is two tefach wide. So basically, if you put that together, that means the amount of two fingers across the hairline. Hair is very thin. It doesn't have so much surface area. So basically, this is where the minhag comes from. I'm having a little bit of hair showing. Again, Shlot Tiskan al-Baila. Also, a woman wants to have a little bit of hair showing. Again, I don't think Rav Moshe's heter is that, you know, some, Baruch Hashem, some women cover their hair but leave a lot out. Is that fulfilling something? The Das Moshe, as we saw? Yes. The Das Yehuda is probably not. That's a little bit more than Derech Bachutz. And again, the thicker it is, the less you're allowed to leave out. Because Rav Moshe's, you know, Moshe's amount of the tefach, but again, so strands in the back, some in the front, bigger clumps would be a problem. Again, it's hard to know. But again, there is a little bit that is, you know, to be left out, you know, in the back and the front. Rav Shlomo Zalman says we shouldn't be looking for like taking out a ruler and measuring how much more can I get out. Basically, the hair should be covered. A little bit out is okay. And again, this is the makar also for some women wear certain things that, like I mentioned, a fall before, which is a type of sheitel. But again, sometimes they have some of strands of their real hair that mix in on top. So again, according to Rav Moshe, if it's just a few, so then also yesh makom to be flexible in those areas as long as a little bit is only a little bit is out. Yeah. I would say side to side is a little easier. As you go front to back, then it's much thicker and it's a little bit trickier. Yeah.
When she
is a nida, does she have to cover hair? Like what halachas change? Outside she always has to cover hair, meaning in front of her husband? In front of her husband. I don't think so. It's a discussion. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that what parts of a woman's body have to be covered in front of her husband when she is a nida. And Rav Moshe says only the parts that are usually covered, even when she's home alone with her husband. Meaning, let's say a woman, I don't know, you know, would wear certain pajamas to sleep that don't you know, sweatpants. I don't know, shorts. But again, Rav Moshe says that in that case, anything that's not usually uncovered in front of her husband, that's okay for her to just wear when she is an ida. Again, there are halachas about what the husband's allowed to look at histakless when she is an ida. But it's a discussion, but I think there is flexibility. There could be flexibility based on that Rav Moshe. What about an unmarried woman? So an unmarried woman, generally the minhag is not to cover their hair. There's a Rambam about braiding hair, even of a single girl. There are some real Temani Rambam families that might follow this. The Rambam says, Achas Pinuya v'achas, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, Achas Pinuya v'achas Eish Zish, that she didn't go Peruas Bashuk. But that's not the common custom. What about an almana and a grusha? An almana or a grusha, a widow or a divorced woman, generally make her, then they have to cover their hair. If there is a makam tsarich gadol, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about an almana who's trying to make a living, and that she keeps getting, you know, jobs, and she loses her jobs because she she's covering her hair, and if she feels that if she doesn't cover her hair, then they would be able to she would be able to make a living. So Rav Moshe says, Yesh la hatir b'tzara gadol kazeh. She can't make a living. Or I'll add another one. Let's say I know of two cases at least, but there it comes up. Rachman al Islam, there was a woman that got divorced very shortly after she got married. Now she's going on dates again, and she's going out again. Very hard to go on a date at a young age covering your hair. Very hard. So again, there is flexibility in terms of that too. Obviously, if it's tzarach parnasa, I know of a case of a woman who was in one of these situations, and it was a while, but then she got the heter, and then the next date she went on, boom, that was it. Happily married, a lot of kids, but baruch Hashem. But again, so there is flexibility in terms of that. Make her a din. They have to. They were married and they have to cover their hair. But again, if there's a tzarach gadol in these cases, then they would be. There might be some flexibility. A woman in Purim halacha also, a woman at her wedding has a different kind of halacha. Right? At her wedding, most poskim assume that a woman does not have to cover her hair fully at the wedding. There are a minority of poskim that say yes, after the yichud room, but most assume not. Most assume that covering the hair might be a din of be'ula, not just nesua. And therefore, at the wedding, the covering the hair in full only starts the next morning. But at the wedding, as long as she has something on her head, right? Most women have something on their head, even if you take the veil off. You know, there's like this hairpiece, whatever, on the head. So that could suffice for the hair covering for the kala. That's called the tzimsa on top. But in general, it's keep in mind, it's a halacha, it's a mefurish halacha, it's a challenging halacha, especially for but only for the women. But it's halacha that we know, and again, it's part of the larger context of how the Torah and Chazal created a reminders, whether it's reminders of marriage, a world of tznius. I like to Rav Schachter likes to quote in Eretz Tzvi, the concept of tznius doesn't only have to do with dress; it has to do with how we talk and how we behave. The second luchos were given with tznius. What does that mean? It means that we're not supposed to be the center of attention. The second luchos weren't given with pomp and circumstance. That's why they survived. So again, this is one halacha that's part of the larger framework, the larger rubric. And again, there are hashkafic messages about it, which we're not going to go into. But there are many articles and books written about that part. But these are some of the halachas relating to this. And again, the Lubavitcher Rebbe talks about an amazing effect on children that covering the hair has on the children's, not naturally, but supernaturally. And Be'ez Hashem, we should all be zochah to fulfill all the halachas in this area and bring nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop here.